everybody, and welcome to The Christian Contrarian. I'm Gary Wayne, author of The Genesis 6 Conspiracy. This is episode 13, Satan Part 3, entitled A Liar and a Murderer from the Beginning. In the first two sections of this series on Satan, we talked about in Part 1, Satan as being an archangel and a seraphim and a cherubim and a totally unique being, and how high he was and thus how far he fell. And in Part 2, we talked about Satan as being a high priest seraphim before the altar of God, and how he fell from grace, losing that position, and that position is still open, which Jesus will fulfill in what we call the Melchizedek resolution and in the end time. And so understanding the players, as we've been talking about in all the different shows in the series so far, is very, very important to understand not only what happened in prehistory, what happened in history, and how it relates to the end time and what's going to take place in the end time, so that we can better discern these extraordinary events that people around for the end time, whenever it comes, and I do believe we're close, will not be deceived. And so understanding Satan as the leader of all of this, as the instigator and the originator of the rebellion of the angels, the leader of the angels, and everything that has plagued humankind and will continue to do so, is very, very, very important. And so we understand in Isaiah 14 that Satan wanted to raise his throne into heaven and be like God, have a realm separate from God, where he was the God of that realm or universe or universes, however that is designed in terms of his plot. And so everything that he was doing from the beginning is a counterfeit or a lie. And so, but from the time that he rebelled, and we'll come back and touch on that in a few minutes. And we're also told in Ezekiel 28, underscoring this in terms of how we're going to break this down, Satan was perfect until iniquity and violence was found in him. So he was created perfect in the beginning. So the rebellion happens sometime later. We're just not quite told when it happens. And as the leader, as the instigator, as the founder of the lies that he is using to create this rebellion and to deceive humankind throughout our history, he is like the wizard behind the curtain, which is should be no surprise that this is an allegory that the occult religions and belief systems use, just as you have the wizard and the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. He's like as you use another one of their allegories, he's the marionette puppet master. He is above the world with the strings reaching into the people of the earth, and he's pulling the strings to manipulate humankind and human history to destroy humankind from the face of the earth, so that we do not reach our destiny to be raised higher than angels in the future time as we're adopted by Jesus, as it's talked about in Galatians and other passages. And so this is something that we need to fully understand in terms of how the propaganda is always overlaid and is preparing us and brainwashing us, not only today, but well, it will continue to increase in the future, just as it has been going on all throughout history, just as this whole marionette aspect was popularized again by the troubadours, which is part of the bloodlines and the bloodline religions and the Cathars and the Albigensians of the Middle Ages that wrote a lot of the Grail literature and on and on and on in terms of the occult side of their history and genealogies and belief system. And this marionette puppet thing that's going on has this allegory, as above on is done on earth, so as above, so as below. And this is an allegory that goes back, and a concept that goes back to Greece and to Egypt in terms of using the puppets to do rituals in ancientology. So understand that all of this is part of the deception that's already going on, because as we talked about in the title of the show, Satan is a liar and a murderer from the beginning, as John 8:44 describes. And as the leader, as the one that is orchestrating everything, we need to understand this concept. So we're going to walk our way through it. And what's also interesting about what John talks about in 8:44 and on, he talks about when Satan speaks, he's talking his language, and his language is lies. So everything he does is a lie. Everything is a deception, just as he masquerades as an angel of light. And all the organizations that follow him call themselves in the same deceit also children of light, sons of light, so, and a religion of light, a religion of knowledge. All the allegories and everything perfectly align with that counterfeit of the true light, of the true religion of God, of the true worship of God, which would probably be a better word than religion. So as we talk about Satan as being a liar from the beginning, what does that mean? Because as we talked about in Ezekiel 8, or in John 8, or I mean Ezekiel 28, Satan was perfect until iniquity and violence was found in him. So he was created perfect. So sometime after this all happened. So is that at Eden or is it before? Well, when we look at that, the first thing that sort of comes to mind is that as he's plotting his lie and deceptions against Eve and Adam, he's already rebelled. So his iniquity is found sometime before Eden. So I don't think it happened at Eden. It's possible, but I think it happened before, that the angelic rebellion happened before, because he used those lies to cause all of the angels to rebel. And I think that rebellion better fits before Eden. Whenever before, that's up for speculation, but let's just look at how John arrives at the words, or Jesus arrives at the words that John records. And we look at liar from the beginning, which comes from a Greek word arche, which means not only beginning, as it's used in the beginning in Genesis 1:1, but also it can mean a majesty of angels and of demons and of this spiritual realm. So we're talking about a liar and a murderer from the beginning, that is suggesting that it may also be linked to the angelic rebellion, which is before Eden, as I just talked about. And so when we look at murderer, that comes from the word anthropokotonos, which is a long Greek word, but it means manslayer. So that is taking us directly to Eden, that he is a manslayer. But when we look at how that portrays, is that humans are mortal, angels are immortal. So what we're talking about is that at some point in time before Eden, we have Satan, who leads the angelic rebellion that is in full motion in Eden to prevent humankind from being raised above them in the future time. And so this is talking about killing humans as a murderer, as opposed to the angels. But I guess ultimately the angels are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. So again, you can make that link back. So it gets to be really kind of interesting as to what is John talking about from a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So let's dig a little bit deeper. So in Genesis 3, in the Eden lie, the lie is said, you will not surely die if you eat from the tree of good and evil, but you will be like gods. And so it's the consequence forward for humankind, as we focus in on the humankind aspect as the murderer of the manslayer, which I think is being implied in John, is that the consequence forward for Eden and the people of day six is that from death is now going to be part of the physical world, because when Adam and Eve are ostracized from Eden, they will no longer have access to the tree of life. Okay. Now, they will get access to the tree of life again, humankind will, in the new heavens and earth and in the age of immortality. But at this point in time, they will no longer have it, and that extends into today. So we don't have access to the tree of life. And as we look at that, is that that is designed for humans, and it's got nothing to do with slaying angels at this point in time in terms of what John is talking about. So in Ephesians 2, we get some more clues to what's being talked about here. And Satan is called the prince and the ruler of this world, as he is in John 12:31 as well. And that word goes back to archo, which means first ruler or chief, and is part of the series of words that's part of the archangels and archons, which of course we learned that in part one, Satan was an archangel. So again, we're understanding that Satan is the ruler of this world and the prince of this world, the archangel of this world, the god of this world, and power comes from ascousia, which means force or potentate or magistrate. So again, all testifying to the authority Jesus has on the earth, and by the time the Eden account happens. And so this is suggesting that he had authority even before that. We're not told when that authority was granted to him, but certainly he has authority to do this and does do so with the lie in Eden. And so we know Eden, that Satan was in Eden, even though that he's not named in the Genesis account, only the Nakash is named. So there's a working going on with the Nakash, and I think Satan is either avataring or entering him or coaching the Nakash, because it's the Nakash that's punished for their part in the conspiracy against Adam and Eve and humankind, whereas Satan doesn't lose any of his arms, legs, or speech or anything like that. So, but we do know in Ezekiel 28:13 that Satan was in Eden. So we know he was involved, and he's the father of lies, as John 8 talks about. And this is the lie that is going to murder humankind going forward. So we start to see the details start to come together here. And so when we look at the iniquity and the violence that was somehow entered into this perfect being when he started to rebel, violence, chamak or kamak, it goes back to the meaning of cruel, unjustifiable violence, an oppressor, an iniquity, evel, which I think is the root word for evil, means evil, wicked, and perverse. And so these are the things that were entering into Satan because of his pride and because of his splendor. And so this is where we understand that the language of the lies and the counterfeiting of everything starts to begin, and how Satan starts to move forward with the process. And in Hebrews 2:14, this makes sense when we understand the definitions of who Satan was, is that he actually has the power of death that he creates in Eden with this lie. So he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning in Eden with Adam and Eve. And he had that power, and we don't know when he received that power, but seemingly he had that power before that. And whether or not it's in days 1 through 6, or it's before Genesis 1-2, if you prefer the gap theory or the renewal of the earth theory, but sometime before that. And I'll leave that for another show, because that's another rabbit hole that we just don't have time to go down. But what is going on here when we talk about this lie that Satan has perpetrated to destroy humankind so that we don't receive our inheritance, we learn further that in 1 Corinthians 2 that he didn't understand, Satan, who I'm talking about, did not understand, nor the other angels, the hidden wisdom. And it's a very interesting verse in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 to 8, because if they understood the hidden wisdom, that God doesn't reveal all things to all of his beings, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus and killed him. Because if they had understood that the resurrection was the hidden plan as part of the hidden wisdom to resolve the angelic rebellion and to permit the full number of humans whose names were written in the book before creation to be fulfilled, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus and permitted the resurrection, but they didn't anticipate that. And so even though Satan is the liar and the murderer from the beginning, because God is Alpha Omega, all of this is allowed to be played out and will be completed through the end time and then through the millennium, and then the new earth and the new heavens come, so that all the numbers can be fulfilled. Because God is Alpha Omega, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He saw everything from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of angels forward. So none of this is a surprise to God. So we need to be patient and we need to understand the wisdom of God, and things are going to play out as God has permitted it and ordained it to play out. And I want to move forward from understanding that this was Satan was not only a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Understand that part of his counterfeit and part of the occult groups on the counterfeit is to make Satan like God and to diminish Jesus and to draft Jesus into their religion as a lower status. And everything they do is designed to raise up their pantheon of gods and Satan in particular and degrade God, degrade Jesus, degrade the Bible and Christianity. And the Morning Star application to Satan, which I think is nothing but occult and satanic propaganda, is part of that counterfeit. And the counterfeit world that Satan is wanting people to believe is that Satan, as he's called Lucifer, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second in the King James Version, and in secret societies, Satan is called Lucifer. So this whole idea that Satan is the morning star literally is not supportable biblically. So I'm going to walk through that to talk about how everything is a lie and everything is a counterfeit, with Satan being the father of lies, and this is his natural language. So in Isaiah 14:12, where Lucifer is inserted there and where the morning star application comes from for the occult societies that they've washed over into Christianity to deceive people, comes from Hillel ben Shakar. And so that's translated as Lucifer, son of the morning. And I'll come back to the sun part in a second. But the word Hillel, which I've covered off in other shows and people are familiar with my work, is likely the name for Satan before he was degraded. And Satan may have had a number of names. And that means, as you take Hillel back to Hebrew, means light bearer, shining one, and a metaphor for a morning star because of his brightness. So it's a possible allegory for a morning star, not the morning star. Not that there's a real big difference there. But he is a light bearer and a shining one. And people now cross that over to Venus, which is known as a morning star, because it is the morning star just before dawn, that comes just before dawn for about 6 months of the year, just as it's the twilight star for the rest. So it's not 100% a morning star, it's also a twilight star or an evening star at twilight. And the reason why you have a connection here to this brightness and splendor is because you have Ezekiel 28, which also describes Satan as his brightness is partially what was part of the pride that brings about his downfall. And so it's the brightness and the splendor of Satan that starts the pride, that starts the iniquity, it starts the violence, and starts the rebellion. But what's interesting about that is Lucifer is not an English word. It is an Italian word that Jerome used in the translation of the Vulgate Bible that was rolled through to the King James Version Bible and not in most other translations. And it's a Latin word put into the English language for a Hebrew word. And it is Latin for the planet Venus. And so I'm not going to go into all of the occult allegories and things like that, that they venerate Venus with Satan, but it is a significant allegory for Lucifer that we know as Satan. And so we should be translating this as not as Lucifer, but we should translate Isaiah 14:12 as light bearer, son of the morning, or brightness, son of the morning, or Hallel, son of the morning, as I would prefer to translate that, just as we would if the name was Michael. It would be Michael, son of the morning. And so we get into that whole aspect of son now. And in son of the morning, that is not morning star. It's the sun of the morning. So it doesn't say morning star. So don't get fooled by people who say that Jesus is Satan, that Jesus is part of the occult religions, and when they start to use that. It's just a term that's used as part of an angelic term and the brightness, and they are superimposing that onto Venus, onto Lucifer, which is the god of the Freemasons and Gnostics. All a lie, all of a deception, all designed to mislead. And so when we look at morning stars, we see that in Job 3:8-9 and 38:4-7. And these are stars that appear in the morning. So there are many stars that are morning stars. So they are a morning stars, part of a series of the angelic realm, but not the morning star. And that's the big part here is they are overreaching and manipulating the words to create that term morning star for Lucifer. And also be aware of Latin being used to use that word over and over to reinforce it, sort of as a subliminal effect. So we have like Pope Francis, who loves to use Latin for morning star, which he translates always as Lucifer. So anytime he can use that, he loves to speak about that in Latin so that it comes out and again is preparing people for the end time. And as we look towards who the true morning star is and how duplicitous this allegory is as part of the lies, as part of Satan in Corinthians masquerading or disguising himself as an angel of light, as in brightness, as in light bearer, and as they like to overextend that into Venus and replacing Jesus, understand that Jesus is the true morning star. He's not the son of the morning star. He is the true morning star. And he is never referred to as son of the morning. What we do get is in 2 Peter 1:13, Jesus called a day star, which is a term that is also used in some other English translations for Lucifer, day star, son of the morning. But this day star is actually referring to the morning star that is referred to in Revelation 2. It's not referring back to Hallel. It's referring back as morning star, which a day star would be termed as. And in Revelation 2:28, God gives Jesus the morning star. So you can take whatever you want for a meaning. Is that his title? Is he handing Satan over? Is it got layered meanings? But God gives Jesus the morning star. And then, and I think this is where it underlines it, that This is a title for Jesus as the morning star. It is in Revelation 22. Jesus is called the bright and morning star, not the son of, but the. And so this duplicitous morning star used in application for Satan is just part of that counterfeiting and part of being the father of lies and designed to deceive people so that they don't follow Jesus, that they follow him, and that he claims and asserts his authority over people who follow him, who will go to the second death as opposed into eternity. And so as we close out this show in terms of Satan, we want to understand that this is all going to come about in the end time, that these deceptions are going to be used, the vulnerabilities of Christians and the weakness of their understanding of Scripture will be used as an opening to deceive people. And the size of the deceptions are going to be very overwhelming. And Satan will pull out all of his mystical tricks, all of his powers that are going to be displayed for Antichrist. And it's going to be a time where even the elect will be deceived, if that were possible. But it says they shall be deceived. So even the elect, even the leaders, even those who should not be deceived, the deceptions and the lies with Satan being the creator of this language and lies, working as a puppet master through all of his people on earth that follow him, the descendants of the Nephilim, whatever else type of beings that might be presented to us in the end time, are all followers of a Satan bringing this about. And so he's like a counterfeit fruit from the tree of the garden of good and evil in our time in an allegorical sense, so that he presents himself as an angel of light. They present themselves with knowledge, and the fruit of the tree looks like it's very, very good for eating, except that inside it is poisonous and will lead to death. So whatever they're offering for immortality and knowledge in this knowledge-based, technological, godless world, this fruit leads to death, just as it led to temporary death for humankind through Eden with the deception and lie with Eve. And so Satan is indeed the murderer from the beginning, but the beginning of Eden, because he's a manslayer. And so even though his rebellion will lead to him being sent to the lake of fire, and we're told in both Psalms and Isaiah that these gods will die like men, they are immortal. So I'm not sure whether they actually die or they'll be punished forever, but we do know, as Matthew talks about, Satan will be joined by the fallen angels that follow him in the abyss, in the lake of fire. So they're all going to be sent there. And he is indeed this marionette master leading the world astray, pulling all of the strings. And he is the counterfeit God that will finally take his mask off to be worshipped as so in the last 3.5 years, when Antichrist, who has all of the full power on display of Satan, destroys Babylon and sets up this new religion. And this is the time when Satan and all of his angels, starting at the midpoint in Revelation 12, with about 3.5 years left, are thrown from heaven as a consequence of the war that breaks out in the heavens. They are sent down to the earth. So all of this is going to be on display. But all of it is a cheap knockoff of what God is promising, and he cannot fulfill it. God is omnipotent, he's Alpha Omega, and he provided us with scripture so that we would know the end from the beginning. And so if you want to get more information on what I'm talking about today, I have this in the series in Satan. I have a 6-part series, And I've updated the Murderer and Lies portion, which is 2B. If people who have that one want a fuller account, more of a step-by-step, I have that available. But just get a hold of me through my website or through Facebook. My website is Genesis6Conspiracy.com. That's Genesis 6, the number 6Conspiracy.com. And on there, there is an email where you can get a hold of me and ask for these documents or other documents I might talk about in previous shows. So until next time, thank you, and thank you for listening to The Christian Contrarian.